guys not do me a favor real quick and place your hands on your eyes and say, I will understand. And place your hands on your ears and say, I will hear. And one more time on your eyeballs, I will understand. On your ears, I will hear. We'll get back to that later. I know it's kind of weird, but it's not going to be weird for long. All right. So, let me see how this far off here. Okay. All right. I'm going to do a recap real quick about what I talked about a few weeks ago. I'm going to continue on from that vein. It's not the exact same thing, but the next kind of step. I have like 1,000 stories, and my issue is, as I'm teaching, a lot of the stuff kind of comes up, and I start on different stories, and I kind of go different places. So I was thinking, I was driving back home a few weeks ago, and I'm like, God, I keep missing like hundreds of things as I'm talking. And he's like, well, you know, just convince me a little bit. So I'm going to try to stay smaller, but I do have to go get a few different places. But the reason I have the whiteboard is so we can all kind of follow along. And I think I'm going to get it right this time. So just to recap real quick, we talked about how everything in life starts out with identity and then goes to activity and then goes to the acquisition of that thing. And this goes gay or mad, male or female, white, black, doesn't matter. This is how life works. And so I want to take some of my stories and talk about how I've done the right thing in certain situations or wrong in certain situations, so that you can take your lives and go back and see where God was at in different places. One thing I don't want to do is, for myself at least, is have a whole bunch of experiences and not know what to do with them, good or bad, right? Because with the good ones, you don't appreciate them, you don't have gratitude, and with the bad ones, it makes you think about life a certain way that may not be true, but it's what happened. You're just trying to stay in that rut, right? So I want to talk about how it works. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And the reason I read that scripture is because I was told a long time ago that my job was to build the body of Christ, to help build the body of Christ, right? And so as I've agreed with that throughout the years, God's been showing me how to do what he called me to do, right? But that all starts out with the same exact formula, we do and have, right? So God has a ride, he has a body, and what he's asking me to do was to help build that body, and then that goes back into my identity as a builder, right? So as I'm teaching, as a teacher, I'm teaching to build the body. You know what I mean? So when you're younger and you're trying to figure out what God has you on the earth for, there's always going to be an end goal and an end purpose, and there's always going to be activity associated with that. But to start out, you have to start with your identity, right? So and that's just one of my identities. But as far as it pertains to the church, that's what I'm called to do. So let's start at the beginning. I'm gonna draw. I'm gonna try to draw. Okay. And let me see. Let's read the markers. And then we'll do. Can you grab another marker for me from that classroom in the back there? She's gonna. This one's going out quick. Good lord. I'm gonna do a kind of tree like that. You got one back there? She's a little small black one on that old desk. Thank you, sir. Alright, cool. Boom, boom, boom. This one's drawing out too. Golly. Okay. So, two trees. You may recognize them, they're from Genesis. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, thank you. And in the beginning, we had, this is Genesis 2:9, out of the ground, the Lord God gave growth to every tree that is pleasing to the eye and good for food. And then in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I've always kind of wondered how you can have so much power in a tree, right? Like, what is actually going on here? It sounds like a strange talent to have for a tree, the knowledge of good and evil, right? And a little while ago, I found out that it's not just the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's actually the tree that gives you the experience of knowing the difference between good and evil after you take that first bite. So when it says that their eyes were open and they saw that they're naked, that tree had the ability to make you understand the difference between good and evil in an instant, right? And so what God was showing me as I was coming up this lesson is that that's usually what happens to us as we grow up. There's a moment where you're quote-unquote innocent, and then something almost instantly teaches you the difference between good and evil. And sometimes when it happens to you, you're 5, you're 15, you're 25 even. And the younger you are, the less experience that you have and the ability that you have to distinguish what to do with that information. So Adam and Eve are grown men and women, and he still told them, don't touch that tree, right? So you can imagine touching that tree at 4, touching that tree at 3, right? And what happens is when we touch that tree and the fruit of that tree exhibits itself in our lives, we come to certain conclusions that may not be the right conclusions about what God said to us coming from the tree of life, right? So I'm going to bring back two stories I brought up a few weeks ago and try to kind of pull them apart a little bit and show you how this works. So I told you guys about my little childhood sweetheart back in the day, 1990, what was that, 3? Good Lord, pre-internet. So this little girl I said I'm going to grow up and marry her, and we're going to call that Big Fruit. Well, first one, right? Unfortunately, life is not peaches and cream, right? Obviously. Some other stuff happened, and what happened was someone in a position of authority and in the family and all that kind of stuff, when I was a kid, touched me inappropriately, right? So, molestation. That's obviously on the mad tree. So, you got one fruit there. So, start here, boom, now we got that. Good thing is, though, a few years later, same girl I liked is going through something, and I'm 99% sure this was the first time that I actually interceded for someone. I didn't know what I was doing, but I'm like, Lord, if you can help her with this situation. It's the first time I feel God on my face as a little kid, and pray for somebody else. So we're going to call that good fruit. Jeez, man. Goodness gracious. Here, let me try this real quick. Let me see some dust on here. A dust? All right. Did you bless it or what? All right, good fruit. Boom. Hey, look at that. Hey. All right, good fruit. Boom. Let me see. I told you guys a little bit about this a few weeks ago. Playing with my friends. They're very, 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 very interested in something over in the corner. I go look over what they're looking at. Some kid found his dad's magazines of people doing certain things that they're not supposed to be doing. So that's the first time I saw pornography. Boom, mad fruit. It's a dad back there. Fast forward a few years, I'm in middle school. Shaw Heights, Westminster High School. Yes, sir. I was very introverted in middle school, very introverted. And when I started coming out of my shell, it's because I was playing sports. And there's a strange thing that happens in the suburbs, especially if you're one of the few black people in the suburbs, which is rare at the time. If you happen to be good at sports and you happen to be tall, dark, and handsome, like yourself, like myself, you get a lot of attention, right? So I was trying, again, off to myself, and I started throwing the pigskin around, started, you know, doing what I do, and everybody started hollering at your boy, and I had to manage the second attraction the right way. And what I did was, I said, get away from me, woman. I'm saving myself for this girl I met in 1993. And that's what I did. So, look at that, go free. Good job, Jonathan. Hey. Fast forward a few more years. Different school, different time. Post-internet, Westminster High School. Me and, I debated not to say, I'm not gonna say his name. Me and my accomplice went to homecoming, right? We didn't have any dates. A different guy did have a date, and she didn't like him, and some music started going, playing very loud in the gymnasium. Something about Gasolina. We started dancing, and it was, that was that, right? So I should have made the right choice, and I should have Heisman, you know, hey, get away from me. I did not. Moo, Mad Jonathan, Mad Chico, Mad Fruit. Yeah. What do we got here? There we go. All right, two more. So, I got my head back on straight, living for God, 20 years old, I think. I finally had my little mental checklist taken care of what I had to be to actually start this journey with this woman I liked, right? I approach her, and she says, no. So I'm like, dang it, man, I had a lot of opportunities to do other things, and I didn't do them because of you. But no is no, right? So we're actually going to call that good fruit, and you'll see why. Okay, so what does this have to do with being, doing, and having? We're going to go back to Matthew 13 and talk about the parable of the sower. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and slipped away. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came up to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from? Their master replied, an enemy did this. So the servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up, the weeds? And he said, no. If you pull the weeds now, you will uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat into my barn. So the principle of that parable, one of the principles of that parable is, be careful what you do with the wheat, or with the tares, sorry. So which one of these trees has the tares on them? Tree of knowledge, good and evil, right? So what happens with this is, when we actually decide to live for God, and when we get to these, what I call, fork in the road situations, we have to decide what you're going to do with your life. Sometimes in our efforts to make choices and decisions about those fruits makes us start turning up the weed. So going back to 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So I'm going to draw a temple. Like such. And that's what God's saying you are. So if we're going to go back and we look at our lives, and we see two different temples. One of these is the wrong one, one of these is the right one, right? And if you're going to reconstruct something that's been done the wrong way, you're going to have to start at the foundation. That is income. It all starts at the foundation. No matter how illustrious the building is, if the foundation's cracked, everything's messed up. It's not going to work, right? So, knowing that, we have to define what a foundation is. A foundation means action of founding, to lay a bottom of or a foundation. So when the servants were asking the master who did this, that's what he's actually asking. Who sowed this foundation? Because when I saw you sow, it was a good tree that you planted. But now we're seeing fruit of a bad tree. So who did this? Right? That's the first question you have to ask. Because God already said, my thoughts towards you are good, not evil, but you have evil fruit showing up. So someone who doesn't think about you the way God does sows something into your garden. And I'm going to take it back out. We've got to be careful about it. So, to understand means to comprehend, to grasp the idea of, to receive from a word, the sign or idea intended to convey. So at the beginning of the lesson, I said, I will understand, I will see, right? That's why. Because you can understand one thing, or you can understand life. You can understand the knowledge of good and evil, or you can understand the knowledge of life. Those are your two ways to do it. And what this actually is, the knowledge of good and evil, is actually a misunderstanding. So these things happened, and I misunderstood them. And now I'm trying to move on top of that. That's what's actually going on. So when I told you guys to touch your eyes and your ears, what I'm saying is, what the Bible says actually is in Matthew 13, verse 16, it says, most people don't hear, most people don't understand, but you are blessed to hear and to understand, right? And so when you say that to yourself, it's not so that you get what I'm saying, it's that you get what God's trying to say to you. Because you're not going to remember most of this, you're going to remember what you need to remember. And you're not going to know most of it, you're going to know what you need to know. And hopefully you take something home. So when I say, I can hear, and I can see, and I can understand, you understand what you need for your moment when you come to this same crossroads, right? That's what that's for. So, most people, I think, grow up with the King James Version Bible, right? It's great. I actually think it helped me read that above grade level. Because it's freaking guy, Gus, now. I'm like, what? So, I mean, see spot run was pretty easy after that, right? So, unfortunately, though, with all the little Gus's and Gals, you can get some stuff misunderstood. So I'm going to give you two examples that came to my mind. Job 2:3. We all know when Satan's talking to God, he's like, have you considered my servant Job? And I'm always right there. I'm like, wait, what? Why are you making up old boy? He's strong. He's doing good. What's going on here? It says that, but it doesn't say that. What it actually says is, have you set your heart to my servant Job because there is none like him in the land, a man perfect and upright, fearing God and turning aside from evil, and still he is keeping hold of his integrity, and you move against me to swallow him up for nothing. That's two different understandings. Because the first one is like, God's like, hey, there's Job, go get him. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, if Job's perfect and he's doing that to someone perfect, I mean, I'm not, so what's he going to do to me? That's what I was thinking when I was a kid, right? But that's not what he said. What he's saying is, you came all the way from earth up to heaven because you're so annoyed about this perfect man, and you want me to destroy him for no reason. That's what God told him. It's just because there's a door, right? And say you're washing dishes, right? And your kid comes in, he's all. That's how Satan walked into heaven. And God, perceiving his heart, was like, I know what's on your heart. You must have just came from Job's house. And you remember when you fell and you can't get back up, not only did he not fall, that's my guy. And I can see that you hate him in your heart. That's what he said. So you can read it one way and read it a different way, and you got two different understandings. About him, about yourself, about how things work. Two different understandings. Second one. Yeah, just how long is this one? It is easier for a camel to pass the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. We all think we know what that means. Most of us have no idea what that means. The issue is, when you don't know what it means, you think that you're supposed to be poor your entire life, just to get into heaven. And the second you get some money, you're like, get away from me. I'm trying to get to heaven. That's not what that means at all. Not even close. And it's so not close, it blew my mind when I figured out what it meant. I'm like, how did I go this long with that misunderstanding? It's crazy. So, I'll tell you what it means. Imagine those two back doors are gates to a city, right? They're going to be giant because you have to have, like, a whole bunch of traffic going in and out, right? If you have gates like that, so you see wide open all day, some scout is like, oh, man, the doors are open. Blows the horn, army comes to your gates, right? So what they do is they close the gate and they have a small, tiny door built into the gate that you can walk through like one by one, two by two at the most, right? So imagine a giant camel with all the stuff on top of it trying to get through a door that only you and I can fit through. That's what that means. Giant camel trying to get through that door inside of a giant door that goes into a city. So what he's saying is, you have to take all the stuff off that camel before you can even try to get to the door. And guess what? Camels don't like going to doors. Where'd they go up? In the desert. Wide open space. There's no doors. They just walk around doing what they do. And you have them mingling down their legs trying to like crouch through a door. You can't imagine how that happens, right? So Jesus is saying, the difficulty that you guys all go through trying to get that camel through that door, it's easier for that to happen than for a rich man to get into heaven. Why? Because sometimes it requires a rich man to take off some of that stuff that he carries on with him, right? That's what he's saying. He's not saying, Christians, be poor your entire life so you can make it to heaven. That's all that means. Misunderstanding. Okay? All right. Almost done. So, start out childhood sweetheart. That's true to your life. It's a great aspiration to have as a three-year-old. I'm telling you, I'm not weird. I understand that. I'm being weird. But this is what it is, right? Good aspiration. Also, you have molestation around the same exact time. What are you supposed to do with that? You have a tear and a week. So, if you go and pull this up with a misunderstanding about what happened, you're going to tear up that one as well. Why? Because it was a woman. So, if I look back as a kid, I can say, all women are evil. So why would I grow up and marry one? That's what happens when you tear up the tears before it's time, before your dream came into maturity, before you understand what actually happened, right? That's something that can happen. True life, my first time interceding. That was something I cared about, but as you grow up, God has you interceding for your enemies. That's crazy. That's very crazy. Sweetheart to enemy is two different people, right? It's like, what? Well, as you mature and let that tree and that fruit develop, it makes more and more sense because in order to do that, you have to understand how much grace he had for you. That's right. When you're five, you steal some cookies at the most, right? Well, some five years, I don't know. Some of you five years are crazy. You steal a car, how'd you even get, well, like crazy. So if you're a regular five-year-old and you just steal cookies, then your enemy is like the most evil person in the world. But as you grow up and you start making your own mistakes, you're like, man, me and my enemy certainly look alike. He wears red, I wear blue. He wears black, I wear gold. He grew up on that side of the street, I grew up on this side of the street, and we look exactly the same. What's all that about? And that's the thing that happens is, when God starts trying to forgive you, and you don't know how to forgive your enemies, you turn both of you guys up. I'm not getting forgiven, you're not getting forgiven, nobody's getting forgiven, we're all going to hell. Or, you're very, very, very self-righteous, and you can't even see your own sin. That happens most of the time. Usually, it's crazy how quickly self-righteous a new convert becomes. Like, you sinned yesterday, got saved on Sunday, and you're doing a Bible study on Monday. It's like, whoa. Hey, follow Christ, you're going to hell. It's like, what are you talking about? We just saw you 3 days ago. And you feel like you're mature, but you're not. And you feel like you understand, but you don't understand. You don't understand the depth. You know something happened, and it did happen, but you don't know what happened yet, right? And what happens is, because you're so far over here, you don't burn the whole tree down, and you were just over there. Ask me how I know. So, I was in elementary school. I saw something I wasn't supposed to see. Adult situations, right? The first time, wasn't my fault. Second time, my fault. Third time, my fault. Fifth time, my fault, right? So I can sit there and say, it's Joe Schmoe's down the street's fault is why this addiction happened. Or I can take responsibility for myself and say, I know that happened, but I have to stay on the tree of life. I can either understand or misunderstand. These are my two options. It's always someone else's fault, or I can take responsibility for myself, right? I didn't choose to take that first bite of the apple. I chose the 22nd time, though, and the 30th time, right? That's what has to happen. You have to go back and redo this stuff, right? Okay. One, I have to kind of go ahead to go back. So I was rejected by my high school sweetheart, or childhood sweetheart, way in the future, but she helped me out so many times growing up by making me say no to things I should have said no to. Because of her, even though I didn't know, I was never going to get her. You know what I mean? So I thank God. I said no. Not say 1,000 times. She was not that crazy. 100 times. To relationships I shouldn't have even gotten to. I'm like, hey, no. I'm saving myself for her. And she's like, you're doing what? I didn't know that. I mean, at the time, I was convinced of it, and it saved me so many times. So many times. So, thank you to her. Appreciate you. That's why she's over here. Yay. Okay. How did I see? So, okay, misunderstanding. So I get to high school. I'm the same guy I was before. Tall, dark, and handsome jock in the suburbs. So, Rem Reed. Yay. I get to homecoming dance, and a girl doesn't like who she came with, so she danced with me. And I remember the excitement level and the yay, started up here, and as the night progressed, it kind of went, fell off a cliff. I always understood, like, why wasn't that cool the whole time? Why was it kind of like, why did it get kind of icky after a while? Why was it tainted? Because when you get on the life side, you start having the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes. So if I bought my girl a little Easter Paragons, course guys, and I did all this stuff and dressed up and brought her to the dance and she starts dancing with the old dude, how am I going to feel about that? And I'm the guy on the other side, and then fast forward years later, I'm going to go complain to the guy about the same thing happened to me? Guess what guy's going to tell me? hey, bro, 2006, where was you at? Homecoming, what happened? Now you know how that feels. You know what I mean? And I can sit there and say, oh, I'm entitled to this because of my quote-unquote position in life. I'm entitled to this because, hey, it's not my fault she didn't like you, so that's me. It is what it is. I can do all that, and that comes from this truth. But guess what? I happened to be what she was window shopping for that night. Guess what? Tomorrow's a different night. 6 months later is a different night. So what exactly can you build on that? Nothing. Just a big old misunderstanding. As far as I remember, that was actually a pretty cool dude. We didn't have any beef, nothing personal. It was just business. And the type of business that you do with women who go dance with someone else, like to dance, is not the type of business that you can build a family on. Because it didn't last one night. What am I supposed to do with that? Because remember when I was a little kid, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a family, right with the fence, with a dog, and we're going to, well, who? Not her. That's not how it works. And that misunderstanding with a woman of God doesn't go together because they're from two different trees. The first temple I have started working on is this one. And in my estimation is what I'm telling you guys. That's how it is. I'm like, oh, I found some stuff while I was working on it. Here's the lesson. I found some stuff while I was working on my temple. Here's the lesson. That's where it comes from. And young ladies in here, coming up. Be very mindful of the type of attention that you're getting. There's I think the Bible says there's eternal fruit, not temporary stuff. I'll move like that. I got some stuff next week for all that. I'll move like that. So you're talking about that, talking about that. Okay, we can stand. I'm done. In conclusion, Bible says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you because my burden is easy and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? Problem with that is,